There's a 50 to 65% chance that a La Nina will materialize, so it's not a guaranteed thing. It's just more likely than not. And if it does occur, it will have effects on regional climates, primarily around the tropics.
And we should say maybe it would have the opposite effect of El Nino.
Generally speaking, it tends to be the opposite of what occurs during an El Nino.
So this could be good news for those areas that have had drought in southern Africa.
That's right. If a La Nina occurs, and if it's not offset by other factors which also affect regional climates, such as sea surface temperatures in other oceans like the Indian Ocean, it would tend to be good news for part of the world like southern Africa, which has been dry because of the El Nino. And if a La Nina occurs, odds are it would go a bit in the tendency towards wet.
And anywhere else that it would be good news for? Southeast Asia, perhaps?
Well, normally over Indonesia and Southeast Asia, when you have a La Nina occur, it tends to be wetter than normal. So that is good news in terms of drought relief, but it can bring other problems related to flooding, for example.
So let's talk about the other negative effects of La Nina. This increased precipitation, rainfall is going to promote the emergence of more mosquitoes, more malaria.
Yeah, in parts of the world where malaria epidemics are triggered by these changes in rainfall, you can have a number of different vector-borne diseases, including malaria, but also Rift Valley fever, which is a mosquito-borne hemorrhagic disease. So you do get health impacts as well as food security impacts, hydropower impacts, all of these things.
What do you mean? Simply there's just not enough water in the dams to generate electricity for the turbines and drinking water for people?
Yeah.
Ultimately?
The water sector, when you have drought, obviously you get less water in reservoirs, you have less water potentially available for drinking. And then if you go into an opposite phase, if you're in a El Nino, La Nina sensitive part of the world, you can then see replenishment of the reservoirs and replenishment of the drinking water sources. So it's an interannual cycle which goes back and forth. And if you're in a region like that, you need to plan for both of these extremes and take advantage when conditions are good and take measures to mitigate things when they are not so good.
Well, let's hope that these regions do get an easier ride over the next coming months. Obviously, how long could we expect this La Nina to last if it does indeed materialize?
We should start to know much more concretely what the status will be around September of this year, I would think. And normally the peak is in December or January, and then you would see a diminishing in the spring in the Northern Hemisphere towards March, April, May.
And if we do get La Nina, as the models indicate, what kind of effect will there be on global temperatures? We might see a dip. We've had months and months of record temperatures. Might we see a dip in that trend in 2017?
Yes, there is a tendency for El Nino to release a bit more heat into the atmosphere than you have when there is no El Nino. And when you already have a strong global warming trend anyway, an El Nino on top of that can often push it into new record territory. And we're waiting to see this year whether 2016 will be just such a case. On the other hand, if a La Nina occurs, the opposite happens. There's a slight dampening of the warming trend, and the temperatures globally tend to be just slightly cooler than they would, and that may be enough to keep 2017 from being yet another record warming year.
But it doesn't mean that there's no global warming, because the overall trend...
It doesn't mean that there's no global warming. This is a bit above and a bit below the trend line, but that trend line, unfortunately, is going rapidly upwards.